Thank you so much. This is a happy, sad day because we have to see David die, which we don't want. And I am reminded that I was having lunch yesterday with Julie Jones, who's recently lost her brother. And we were talking about loss, the nature of loss, and what it feels like when someone we love leaves and there's just this big hole. I mean, and you know you're happy where they're at. That's absolutely true. But the years here without them are unthinkable without people that you've loved. So as I began to look at David's life last night and this morning, I was thinking how sad it would have been for those people when he died. You know, here was David, who had been such a hero, such a warrior king, shepherd king, beautiful heart. I think the largest thing about him after looking at him so much this year is his ability to repent with humility, to receive from the Lord first, even more than discipline from men, and to embrace it, to embrace that hardship as discipline from the Lord. And he is an example to us of that. One of the people I cannot wait to meet in heaven will be King David. So I'm going to take, not from Samuel today, I'm going to move into Chronicles, because part of the things that we didn't talk about David, which was large about his life, was that he was an artist. And he, as a boy, played the harp and sang to the Lord, even as a shepherd boy, and wrote beautiful poetry, love poems to the Lord, and ways of expressing both the depths of his love, but also the depths of his sorrow. So in the Psalms, we have both. And often, I think I referenced this last week, he is a prophet in them, prophesying through poems, through poetry, what the Messiah would do when he came. And Jesus quotes him when he says, I'll say to my right hand, the son of my right hand, who of us has ever died? Jesus quotes him. Jesus quotes Psalm 22. You can read big portions of it and the little bit that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, and move through the psalm. You see him hanging on the cross, and it's written fully 500 years before crucifixion is invented, and David is predicting. So some psalms I'm going to read today, but I wanted to also, over his bad fathering, which was his sin was having too many wives. We talked about that earlier. He ended up having something like 9 sons, and there were a lot. He had 7 when he's in Hebron, and then a whole, actually he had 16 sons, and he had another 9 in Jerusalem. And Bathsheba ended up having 4 sons. Solomon is the one who is chosen as king, and the Lord chose Solomon. And so what we see today, even though, yes, it was a dysfunctional family, he leaves Solomon equipped, and not just equipped to live his life, but equipped to serve the Lord with the building of the temple, which David has made all the preparations for. So we left last week with him making a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, which is where the temple would be built, for the sins of the people. And now I'm going to pick up in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Lord God, we pray again this morning that you would teach through your Holy Spirit and your word, our hearts, our spirits, inform our minds, and give us a deeper appreciation and love for you and ways in which to use all that you've given us for your glory as you did with David. Thank you, Father. Amen. Then David said, the house of the Lord God is to be here. Now, this was Mount Moriah. And also the altar of burnt offering for Israel. So David gave orders to assemble the foreigners residing in Israel. And from among them he appointed stone cutters to prepare dressed stone for building the house of God. He provided a large amount of iron to make nails for the doors of the gateways and for the fittings, and more bronze than could be weighed. He also provided more cedar logs than could be counted, for the Sidonians and Tyrians had brought large numbers of them to David. David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, And the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it. So David made extensive preparations before his death. So we see him as an old man, and in fact, we know he dies at 70, my age tomorrow. It says full of years. So, you know, I'm looking at anything after this is pure gravy, okay? But, of course, he would have been very old at 70 after the life he lived and the roughness of it and the battles and the aches and the pains. But he uses, this is an example for all of us in aging, all he's got at the end to prepare the house of the Lord. And we also are doing that, and we have inexperienced people behind us. And so the idea of not doing the job for them, but preparing the things for them to use is a concept to really take to heart. And you can think of this even in your own recipe box or your, you know, collections you want to leave behind, or things that you're leaving that are of a legacy to someone else. The things you've learned from other people, write down stories about people that have taught you about Jesus to pass on. Think of your life as building stones that you are cutting for the Lord to use, because we are living stones. We will look at that passage in a moment that he is cutting. But I love this idea of energy, no matter what our age, to the end. And that can be in prayer for people that are behind us that do not know him as we know him. And so we are praying for them, putting in place the things that God can use. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. But this word of the Lord came to me. You have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon. And I will grant Israel peace and quiet during his reign. He is the one who will build a house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." Wouldn't you love the Lord to say that about your own son? You know, that he has a plan for your children. That's something to beseech him about, Lord. To be people of peace, to be people who can build on what the Lord is doing. What a wonderful thing to desire for our children, especially when this son does not end well for all that he is blessed with. He may actually end at the end. I tried to study Solomon's death too, but there was no detail at the very end. But certainly he did marvelous things when he was trusting. But women were his downfall. And so, like his father, he also followed in the physical ways of sin. Even though he was not a man of war, he was a man of lust. And so we also look and say, what are we passing back that are our own fleshy little things that we rationalize over and do not take to heart as being something we do not want to pass over? We do want to admit, we do want to point out, not be defensive, but say, yes, I am always late, or yes, I am always, this is not a good thing to copy. This is not what I want you to do. You can pray for me in this, to show humility to our children, to those who follow after us, that we don't have it all together. Only God does. There's only one God. And we are humble before him to pass on the grace that he's given us in many ways. He says he will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. And that is, again, the promise he gave to David that he reiterates to Solomon. So the Lord is not going to change that promise. Even though he's just disciplined with
killing 70,000 people with the plague. He has not relented of his hold on Israel. That is still true today in 2019. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he put you in command over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Good words, to be strong and courageous and to listen to the word of the Lord. There isn't a better book on wisdom than Proverbs. And that is a direct answer to this prayer that David prays over Solomon. To understand, not just keep the law of the Lord from Moses, but to put it into practice in wise sayings that could make people think, oh, that's what that means. This is how I want to be. And he does it in every depth. You know, some of it's ugly, you know, like the glutton who's just sleepy by the side of the road. Or, you know, better that you put a knife to your throat than be given to a love of honey. You think, oh, man, he understands the sugar deal. Okay. Or keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That Jesus taught that it's from the inside of a man that he's made clean or dirty. It's what comes from his heart that makes him unclean, not the washing of hands on the outside. So he has given, in answer to David's prayer, a great understanding and wisdom. And like all of us, he has high points in his life where it's all coming together and he's a blessing. But he has low points in his life, just as David did his father, that are not the Lord's ways. And what I want us to remember about David with this is, it was such a sorrow, not that the Lord didn't forgive David or still remain true to his blessings for David, but that David had great sorrow as a result of his own sin. Consequences naturally follow. And so the Lord does not always interrupt consequences. They teach us. We truly do reap what we sow. And we see this. We want that to be different now that we're Christians. And now that everything's new, now that my sins are as far as the east is from the west, surely there'll be no consequences for sin. Because Jesus bore them all at the cross, right? Well, he bore the sin at the cross. And he bore the consequences of our bitterness at the cross, our death at the cross. But still, in our growing and being disciplined as children by the Lord, our own hardships are something we embrace as discipline from him, because he only disciplines those he loves. So it teaches us. He wants us to learn, to grow, not to just say, oh, it doesn't matter, God's forgiven it. Or, yes, well, that was then, but this is now. Truly, one thing that we see from David is he doesn't revisit his sin all the time and say, I'm so horrible, I wish I'd never done that. He does move on. But he has sorrow in his life, and so does his family, from the errors of his ways. So that's a place of intercession for us in our own finish of life and ways. Lord, there are consequences my own family even bears for things I did wrong. I wish I'd taught my children this. I wish I'd done this more. I wish I had. Well, I didn't. And I know that God is enough and that he can fill in, will fill in, but I also sorrow in that. It shapes me to want to live differently today. I don't want to leave things that other people have to clean up. Okay, I want to leave it. I want to clean up my own mess. And I want them to have less messes as an example. But we don't get to choose that. As mighty as David's prayer is for Solomon, he still falls. He still does not follow the teaching of Moses. He still takes all those women. So it's so bad that the Lord rips the kingdom from him and splits it in half. So that after Solomon, we have horrible kings for just a few that are worth looking at in that whole future history of Israel. And it is a judgment. And each one has choice to follow the Lord or not. The Lord gives a choice every time. We never remove choice just because people are ours or in our orb of influence or our family or our friend. It's that, no, each person, it's that old song, you must walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. That's true. And it should be in our lips. I do this, but you must live under the Lord yourself. You will answer and you will have rewards that are of your life. You don't get to ride your parents' stuff. You have your own things to bring to the table. Verse 14, I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron too great to be weighed, and wood and stone. And you may add to them, you have many workers, stone cutters, masons, and carpenters, as well as those skilled in every kind of work, in gold, silver, bronze, and iron, craftsmen beyond number. Now begin the work, and the Lord be with you. Now, again, I want you to picture this. These are glorious things. This is going to be quite a structure that the whole world comes to see. A beautiful thing in honor and in memory of the God of Israel. And so they are specific with it. But what's so interesting here, as he lists the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the wood, the stone, and there's similar parallels to the seat of judgment of Christ over believers, that our works will have to go through the fire. And only what remains, remains. Everything that is of wood or stubble will burn up. Everything else will be purified. But our own works, our own lives will be held to the standard of Christ. Not ever that we are in peril of hell. We've been saved. But our works matter to God. And they are a part of his structure. They are a part, we are a part of his plan, whatever that looks like. With the works that we do by faith, with courage, with steadfastness, that are true, that are for his good and the good of others, not our own. So when you think about these products of gold, silver, bronze, and they go down in value, some of us say, well, I just do this. I just set the table. I just do that. It's still extremely important. When it's done by faith, it's gold. Don't worry that it's not a big job. This is not the size of it in terms of the metals. It's what it's purposed for. And so what's a perfect match, Dallas Willard said this, we've talked about it many times, the definition of holiness is doing the thing that needs to be done when it ought to be done. That we're so aligned to the Lord and what he's doing, that we do the thing that needs to be done when it ought to be done. That's gold. Okay. It doesn't matter what the thing is, the cup of water or a great sermon. It's that it's unto the Lord and it becomes something that is imperishable because of who we give it to and how we offer it. So this is a word for us. Now begin the work and the Lord be with you. Then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon, and he said to them, is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not granted you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hands, and the land is subject to the Lord and to his people. Now, devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. Now, picture this too. David longed to see this, but he wasn't going to. But the words as he says this are just covered in love. Aren't they beautiful words? And devote yourself. And you're going to bring in the ark, how he danced before, how he loved the Lord and the things of the Lord. And that the final thing would be the carrying in of that ark to the holy place, the Holy of Holies, where the mercy of God sat between the two angels over the top of the Ark of the Covenant. What a glory this was going to be. And he would see from heaven, but he would not see it here. David's prayer. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and the king. Now, there has never been a king like David. You need to remember this. Of all we saw, this is his ending with his people, and to acknowledge the wonder that they too are generous and to take joy in it. But then to call out, worship, praise him, and they prostrate themselves before God. Not him, but God. Later we will see, we won't see it because we're not reading it, but I encourage you to read on through Solomon's life. Solomon builds a throne that is carved of ivory, overlaid with gold, and has so many steps that go up to it, each with lions on them and lions for their arms. It's a throne unlike any king ever had. So while there's a great, beautiful thing he builds for the Lord, there's also a self-aggrandizement that is different than what we see in David. David was a shepherd. David had been elevated. David had served, but he had no mistake. There was no mistake in him, no mistake as to who deserved worship. And his psalms are full of it. And his ways of repenting, they were with integrity of his heart. He did not argue and make excuses. He owned his stuff. That's maturity. You think, well, maturity is never making the mistake to start with. Well, that would be to be not human. We get up in the morning. We've sinned by the time we brush our teeth with some thought. It's impossible. We're made of mud. Okay, we are fallen. But that has been paid for. But our heart and the choices we make and how we make them matters to the Father. David echoed this. He said, it matters. Your attitude matters. Your attitude matters. He was the first one about positive thinking, okay? But not in those words, not just random acts of goodness. No, no, far be it. But always unto him be the glory and the honor. A wonderful legacy was left. I want us to remember this about David. and this cry for them to worship and to praise him and all the people to fall down. That's amazing. The next day they made sacrifices to the Lord and presented burnt offerings to him, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs, together with their drink offerings and other sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Then they acknowledged Solomon, son of David, as king a second time, anointing him before the Lord to be ruler and Zadok to be priest. So Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king in the place of his father David. He prospered and all Israel obeyed him. All the officers and warriors, as well as all of King David's sons, pledged their submission to King Solomon. The Lord highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him royal splendor, such as no king over Israel ever had before. David, son of Jesse, was king over all Israel. He ruled over Israel 40 years, 7 years in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. He died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. His son Solomon succeeded him as king. These are the last words of David. The inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. If my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made me an everlasting covenant. And here too is a prayer of David. I'm going to read some psalms now that are, I just randomly picked them. You all, we could pick them all day, our favorites. So bear with me. These were some of mine. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Thou whose glory above the heavens is chanted by the mouth of babes and infants. Thou hast founded a bulwark because of thy foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him little less than God, and dost crown him with glory and honor. Thou hast given him dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then I will end with the Lord's shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are many more, but we're out of time. Let's see if there's any last thing to say. Yes, I wanted to read this to you. This is from Peter. And coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Isn't that gorgeous? He's called us from darkness and into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. They will. There is still a day coming when the things you do will be remembered, because it will have been an evidence to people who were watching. We have a high calling. We are part of a royal priesthood. We too are princesses. We too wear the robes of many colors. We too are special just because we have received his mercy. And we make an opportunity, I hope often, to speak his name, to glorify him, even in private and in prayer. Many, many thanksgivings to God. Not just for things, but for who he is, who God is. And let that knowledge fill us. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for the life of David and for being with us in every way this year. We thank you for each other, for the sisterhood, for the small groups, for the children, for the leaders. And Lord, we praise you that we have met in this wonderful place that was still a dream last year. We thank you for the generosity of the church. And Lord, we pray now that as we depart together after the children sing, that you will sit on us today in memory of David, that you will guide us with eyes uplifted because you are the cornerstone and we are the building. And may our works, Lord, be works that do not burn up but are purified in order that we would have crowns to offer to you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.